Welcome to this talk from the Canando Zen Meditation Center. Located in Mountain View, California, Canando's meditation practice is open to the public. For more information or to get in touch with us, you can visit our website at canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.
Good evening. Many centuries ago in China, there was an emperor who was intellectually curious and thought a lot about important things and wanted to have as much understanding as he could. And he had three questions came to him that he tried to resolve, thought about them all the time. And these three questions are, the first one is, what is the best time to do each thing? And the next question is, who are the most important people to work with? And the final question was, what is the most important thing to do at all times? So he was troubled by these questions, and so one day he offered a big reward to anyone who could answer these questions, and he announced it all over the kingdom that people should come to the capital and come before him and present their answers to him for these three questions, and they would have a great reward. So many people came, and many people gave their answers. And so for the first question about what is the best time to do each thing, there are the most frequent answers included set up a plan, a very detailed plan, a schedule for the entire year, and then you'll know what's the best time. Another answer to that question was, it's impossible to plan. Just remain attentive, put aside all distractions, then you'll know the best time. And another answer was, well, you can't know by yourself what is the best time, so you have to make a committee, and they will decide what's the best time for everything. And the fourth most popular, most frequent answer was consult a fortune teller to know in advance what the best time. Now, the second question was, who are the most important people to work with? So the most frequent answers included your councilmen, your administrators. You should trust them. They'll tell you who are the most important people to work with. And people also said, well, the priests are the most important people. Others said the doctors and physicians. And finally, there was the military. Those are the most important people. The third question was about what is the most important thing to do at all times. And the answers included pursue technology and science. Another was pursue religion and spiritual matters. And then there was the final answer was military. That's the most important thing to do, is keep up your military. Well, the emperor didn't like these answers. None of them touched him at all. So he had to tell everybody who came to the capital to compete for the prize, he had to say, sorry. Nobody wins, there will be no reward. You didn't do it. And so he was troubled. Nobody could come up with answers that he felt were wise, that could resolve his doubts. So he decided to leave the capital and go on a long journey and visit a hermit, a very famous hermit who lived in the mountain, who was considered to be very wise and very enlightened. So the emperor decided to take two attendants with him, and he dressed in very ordinary clothes, so nobody would know he's the emperor, and he went off to see this hermit in the mountain. And this hermit, he never left the mountain. He stayed there all the time. And he only met with poor people. He never met with wealthy people. He only entertained people who had a hard time in life. So the emperor had disguised himself as a peasant. He disguised himself as a peasant, and he had his soldiers, his attendants, wait for him some miles away. And he went looking for the hermit, and he found him. He found the old man digging in the garden. The hermit saw the stranger, acknowledged him, and he kept on digging. And the emperor could see that it's hard work. For an old man, this is very hard work, digging in the garden. So the emperor then asked his three questions of the hermit, of the wise man. And the hermit listened. And he patted the emperor on the shoulder, and he kept digging. Then the emperor offered to help dig. And the hermit said, okay. And he gave him the shovel, and he sat down under a tree and took a rest. So the emperor dug for quite a while, and he dug two long rows for planting the garden. And after finishing digging the two rows, he presented his questions again. And again, the hermit was silent, didn't answer. But he did get up from under the tree, and he offered to take over the digging from the emperor. So they both continued to dig the garden. And after a couple of hours, it started to get dark. And the emperor thought he wasn't going to get anywhere, so he said to the hermit, well, if you can't provide me my answer, if you can't answer my questions, I better go home. And then the hermit said, wait, what's that over there? Do you see someone running over there? And they looked, the emperor looked, and over in the distance, they saw a man come running from out of the woods. And he was running wildly, crazy. And he had his hands pressed to his stomach, and they realized he was wounded in his stomach. And he ran up to them, he ran up to the emperor, and then he fell down unconscious. The emperor and the hermit both noticed that the man had a very deep cut, very deep gash in his side. So the emperor proceeded to clean the wound with his own shirt, bandaged it with his own shirt, and he kept changing the bandage until the bleeding finally stopped. The wounded man awoke, and he asked for water. And the emperor ran to the stream and came back with some water. And by now, the night was getting cold. So the emperor and the hermit put the wounded man into the hermit's bed. And the emperor by now was very tired. He just fell asleep in the doorway of the hut. After a few hours, he awoke in confusion. And the wounded man also awoke in confusion, and they looked at each other. And the wounded man, he looked at the emperor, and he said, please excuse me. And the emperor said, well why? What did you do? Why do you want me to excuse you? What have you done? And the wounded man said, I was your sworn enemy. Because in the last war, you killed my brother. You seized my property. And when I learned that you were coming alone to the mountain to visit the hermit, I wanted to surprise you and kill you. But I waited a long, long time and you didn't come, so I left my hiding place to go out and find you. But unfortunately, I ran into your attendants, your soldiers, and they attacked me and they wounded me. But I got away from them and I ran here. And if I hadn't met you here, I would have bled to death and I would be dead by now. So I wanted to kill you, but you saved my life. So I am ashamed and I'm grateful to you. If I live, I will be your servant, as will my children and my grandchildren. Please forgive me. The emperor was very touched by this story, and he was overjoyed that he could be reconciled with a man who was his sworn enemy. So, of course, he forgave him. And he promised to return the property that he had taken during the war. And he promised to send doctors to this man's home to finish the healing. And he had the attendants take the man home. So when the man was gone, the emperor once again returned to the hermit, and he wanted one more chance to get his questions answered. And by now it was daylight, and the hermit was sowing seeds into the newly dug earth. So the emperor asked his questions, and the hermit said, "Your questions have already been answered. When you came here and found me working, you took pity on me, and you helped me. Otherwise, I would have been attacked by that man who came here. And then you would have regretted not staying with me, but you stayed with me. So you saved me from being attacked. So the most important time is when you are digging in the beds. The most important person was me. The most important pursuit was to help me. When that wounded man was here, the most important time was dressing his wound, or he would have died. And you would have lost your chance to be reconciled. The most important person was him. The most important pursuit was taking care of him. The most important time is now. The most important person is who you are with now. And the most important pursuit is making the person you are with happy. That alone is the pursuit of life. So the point of this story, of course, is if we want to save people, if we want to save the world, we have to take care of the people around us, independent of their past history. Or even if we feel they have been our enemy, we take care of people around us. This is the best way to reconcile. And by taking care of others, the emperor was taking care of himself. In other words, by lifting the hermit's burden, he saved his own life. And when he treated the wounded man, and when he was helping the hermit, when he was digging, he put aside his desire for answers. Saving the wounded man saved his own life. and he used the only resources he had, his own clothing. And he and the wounded man became friends for life. When we help our friends, when we help others who we think may be an enemy, we save our own life. So, the very first part, the starting point of our spiritual practice is to see our questions. Spiritual practice does not start unless we know what our questions are and are willing to pursue them. And we cannot answer them through the words of other people. And we cannot answer them through a royal decree that says, I will give you lots of money. This means we can't answer our questions intellectually or by staying in our palace. The second part of our spiritual practice is the difficult journey we have to undertake to answer our questions. We have to climb the mountains with our questions. We have to take off our royal clothes. We have to take off our royal clothes, which is another way of saying, put down your intellect. And we cannot look outside ourselves for answers to these questions, or we will feel frustrated and we won't be satisfied. We will be discouraged. We will want to quit and we will want to go home. The third part of our practice is to take care of the immediate moment. Without hesitation, without thinking of ourselves, without caring about our own needs. Taking care of the immediate moment means no more looking outside of our own life for the answers. No more relying on experts or wise men, or fortune tellers. All three parts of our spiritual practice are about digging in the ground. Because if you notice in this story, the seeds got planted in the ground after the emperor was reconciled. After we are reconciled, we can plant. And the emperor was reconciled with himself. His warlike nature had turned to compassion. His questions were answered. And he had great understanding. So the meaning of this story for us is that we have to dig the ground before we can plant something. Before food can grow, we have to dig the ground. We have to dig before understanding can appear. These days there are a lot of books, a lot of podcasts that are very popular. They're popular because we feel we can gain wisdom by looking outside of ourselves, looking to somebody else for the answers that we seek. And every day the number of podcasts increases and the number of books that get published increase. We're overwhelmed. But of course the truth is we have to do our own digging. And that's what our practice is. It's hard work to understand life. It's hard work to find peace of mind. And it won't help to return home when we feel discouraged, when we want to return to the royal life of comfort, comfort of the intellect. So that's a habit we have to break. We simply pay attention to what needs taking care. And that is the thing we should do in each moment. What needs taking care? Our questions, our concerns, our confusion, they can only be resolved in the present moment, doing what we need to be doing. There's no need to ask others for answers, and there's no need to look elsewhere for understanding what to do, when to do it, and who we should be with. Does anybody have a question?
When the emperor dresses in plain clothes and loses his royal robes, is the expression akin to stepping down from the ivory tower?
Yes, in this story, you know, it starts off by the emperor sitting in his throne and everybody comes to him. When he finally decides to stand up and go out and seek the truth by going out, making an effort, and taking off his royal clothes, which, like you say, that's his intellect. When he goes out to make an effort, that's the beginning of understanding, that turning of the mind that says, oh, get up, go out. That's a big moment. Thank you.
When you meditate, and I'm a beginner's level, when you meditate, is the goal to clear your mind, or is it to be conscious of the thoughts that are coming through and not casting judgment on those thoughts?
First thing is take the word goal out of your vocabulary. No goal. Just do it. Just do it. So, I can't answer your question. Thank you. Right now, the world is not in a very peaceful place. And if we want peace, we start with finding our peace in ourselves. So we just sit and come to a quiet place and let our peace manifest. And so I remember when I started this practice a long time ago, and the teacher was Suzuki Roshi, as you know, and he was in San Francisco, and they were building the San Francisco Zen Center, and lots, you know, all of the Zen students were clustered around him there. And I was living here, 40 miles away. I didn't get to see him. Couldn't get to see him. Whereas the people in San Francisco got to see him all the time. And it was frustrating, like you say. I thought, he's the man with the answers. And I can't see him, but they can. Oh, they're so lucky. It took me many years to realize that I was the lucky one. You know what? My desire to go running to him every time I had a question, couldn't do it. I was forced to do the digging myself. Sometimes the best teacher is the one who keeps a distance from us, which pushes us back on our own determination. This is in story about that, and I forget the names of the principles in China. And some monk goes to visit a teacher, and the teacher says, "So, who was your teacher? Where did you just come from?" And the monk tells him who it is. Why do you admire him so much? Because he didn't tell me anything. That's our practice. We are here for each other and support each other, but we have to do our own digging.
This talk was brought to you by the Canando Zen Meditation Center in Mountain View, California. For more information or to support this podcast, go to canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.